One of the Thursday highlights for each cattle industry convention is the morning edition of the Cattle Facts Annual Outlook, the 2019 Annual Outlook, happening on this final day of January here at the Cattle Industry Convention 2019. We're powered by Corteva AgriScience, your partner in range and pasture productivity. And pleased to have along with us Kevin Good of the Cattle Facts organization. Had the chance to sit down and talk with Kevin about some of the things talked about at this year's Outlook seminar by the Cattle Facts folks. Kevin, got out of, obviously, the Outlook session for Cattle Facts. Good crowd once again, as it always is, and a pretty upbeat report from the stage. I mean, the numbers look pretty decent for 2019 just overall.
Yeah, they really do, and I think we just have to remember where we've been the last 5 years. You know, we've had quite a bit of profitability in our industry. We've expanded. We do have a much bigger herd. So we do have some challenges as we go forward. At the same time, prices, you know, as we think about 2019, we think they're going to hold together very nicely. Remember, we've got a little bit of cost inflation, which helps hold, you know, retail and wholesale prices up. Beef production, we do have it up about 1.5%, but fortunately, we're pretty optimistic that trade balance will continue to improve, which means we'll export more, import a little bit less, and that'll actually offset quite a bit of that production increase. So when you net it out with population growth, per capita beef supplies in 2019 won't be a lot different than 2018. So we're thinking the Fed market could be somewhere around steady. I think that's a pretty good call. But we do think there's a challenge as we go forward in here, recognizing we've got bigger supplies of feeder cattle and calves. Feed yards are pretty full, especially this time of year. We're awful muddy. And so we're seeing a little bit of that compression or that leverage shift where the feed yard is bidding less for feeder cattle and calves. And as a trend, we do think feeders and calves will be softer than the year prior, but still hold up at levels that should give most of the producers a chance to be profitable again in 2019.
You talked about the cattle inventory numbers. I guess they're going to be out 1 month later than they were originally scheduled to be at the end, actually today. But the beef cow number that you came up with, the Cattle Facts folks came up with, just a little bit above a year ago, just right, 31.9 million, I think, was the number I saw.
Yeah, we would have it up a couple hundred thousand compared to last year. And, you know, on a balance sheet, you take last year and then you add and subtract, and, you know, you look at what you did with the heifers. And even though we placed more heifers on feed than the year prior, the percentage of heifers as a percentage of the total fed marketings is still at a level that would suggest you're expanding at a slower pace. Cow slaughter was up. Beef and dairy slaughter, but at a level that we would suggest that we're still expanding the beef cow herd. Not the case for the dairy industry. They've kind of a tough go in 2018. We think it'll be tough again in here in 2019. We would have their herd liquidating 20, 30,000 head last year, probably on the same pace again this year. So net, still see some expansion in the beef cow side here in 19, a little bit of liquidation again in the dairy side.
No, on the prices, actual prices predicted for our various classes of cattle, fed cattle unchanged, but those yearlings and calves a little cheaper, it looks like, on average compared to a year ago.
Yeah, that's the way we would gauge it. You know, fed market basically flat, but we'd have the yearlings down about 4%, you know, and then we'd have the calf market down about 7%. So you can see that progression. A challenge again in the utility cow prices, coal cow prices, again with bigger cow slaughter, limited shackle space. The leverage component there definitely favors the cow killer. And with that said, coal cow prices probably will be depressed. We've got them down 8-9% this year compared to a depressed price a year ago.
You built in, obviously, a pretty nice little increase on beef exports again after a phenomenal 2018. How do we make that happen?
You know, that's a good question, because really we've been on a pretty good pace the last 3 years. We've had double-digit gains in exports, and, you know, you can't forecast that to continue. We've got it up 6%, and we do feel like you continue to get more product into the Asian markets. You know, obviously South Korea was huge this year with an increase. Japan's been good over the last couple of years. You know, China, we'll see what happens with trade agreements. You know, we're optimistic long term, but, you know, what that looks like, nobody knows. So Generally speaking, the Asian markets we think will continue to be the destination for our product on the export side. On the import side, we've got it down 4% as an estimate, which, you know, historically, when you harvest more cows domestically, you import less 90% trim in particular, and, you know, the destination or the origination of that product is typically Australia and New Zealand. So we would suggest that we'll get less 90 trim in, and that's where we get that reduction in imports.
Dr. Douglas talked pretty grim as far as the drought is concerned in the Southern Hemisphere, and that impacts obviously Australia. Yes. And we've heard that they, you know, are they going to be able to do as, you know, many pounds of exports as they normally do?
Yeah, that's a good question. And last year was a good example, though. You know, they harvested in roughly 6-7% more cattle last year, so they had bigger production. Yet we didn't get that production because they've got front door access into China, and so more of their increased production went into those Asian markets, less of it came our direction. Probably the same trend this year. You wouldn't think they could continue to harvest that many cattle year after year,
right?
But it could stay elevated with the drought. If it does, we're not as concerned that it comes our direction. We think that it ends up continuing to go into the Asian markets. But we need to recognize we compete head-on with them in Japan in particular. And they've got an advantage today with the tariffs, the way they're set up. So we do need a new trade agreement with Japan to be more competitive there. We actually have an advantage in South Korea, and that's where we've seen the biggest increases for our year-over-year increases for beef exports. So trade agreements are key to continue to be on the same footing or better footing than Australia in those markets. And another point there as far as imports, 90% trim is trading about $10 a hundred cheaper than it was a year ago, so that's less attractive for some of that product and that the end of the world to come our direction.
Right. As Randy kind of put the bow on things there at the end of the Outlook session, he talked a lot about the tremendous increase we've had from average, you know, the average choice select to the higher choice prime carcasses that are out there. He says we're responding to consumers. How does that play into all of, you know, the overall outlook for this year and beyond?
You know, we have done a tremendous job as an industry producing a higher quality and a more consistent product. And if you go back to 1998 when we had our low water mark in demand and, you know, the beef checkoff dollars that were being spent at that time, those were the two buzzwords that we decided as an industry to improve demand, quality, and consistency, and we've done a tremendous job since then. From a quality aspect, you know, we can think in here we're almost 80% of the cattle we harvest are choice or prime. You know, prime last year was close to 8% of the harvest cattle were prime. That's huge. At the same time, we continue to keep that choice select spread elevated, which tells us that choice demand is very strong. We did have somewhat of a challenge last year, even though prime is a very big premium. Those premiums did dissipate a little bit because we overproduced the demand, increase in demand that's strong with that kind of a year-over-year increase in prime products. So as we go forward, you know, we just need to recognize that bar is being raised as far as the kind of product we're producing. And so as producers, if we want to have premiums, there's probably some other things we have to tag on along with genetics, and then maybe that's verification, source and age verification, traceability, humanely treated, some of those things that the consumer is saying, hey, we want these.
Yeah.
And if we want to continue to serve that consumer and we want to continue to receive a price premium for our product compared to our competition, we have to continue to listen to their demands.
I guess what Randy cited a couple of numbers there as far as back to the producer, that this has made a real difference to the calf trade, to the yearling, to the Fed market, the better quality cattle.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. If we would have gone down the same track we were going in the 80s and mid 90s, I mean, our industry would look a lot smaller and a lot different today than it does. So there's no doubt as you think about the profitability and the amount of dollars. You know, if you just the difference between 2000 and 2018, you know, there's $60 billion more available than there was at that point in time. Now, does that all trickle down to the cow-calf business? No, it doesn't, but some of it does. Yeah. And it's trickled down, and it's generally meant that the cowman has had a little more jingle in his pocket over the last 5 to 6 years. And we look at our industry today, it's awful healthy. You know, financially, it's a very vibrant business. We just have to be prepared going forward, though, at some point, you know, bigger supplies, a hiccup in trade, if it happens, could have a detrimental effect on our price and profitability.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Good with the Cattle Facts Organization. At the 2019 Cattle Industry Convention in New Orleans, I'm Ron Hayes.